This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Class reunion as we look back at the 1993 NBA Finals.
School is out, but graduation is still in the air. The mothership celebrates the championship anniversaries of this year.
Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life. The Blue Jays are World Series champions.
Yes! The Bulls take a one-point lead, and Phoenix calls for time.
She is gone! In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
The Edmonton Oilers have agreed to trade Wayne Gretzky to Los Angeles.
It's the DA Show's class reunion, only on CBS Sports Radio.
Amazing to think about it being 25 years since one of the greatest NBA Finals ever, the 1993 NBA Finals, pitting the number one seeded Phoenix Suns against the two-time defending champion Chicago Bulls. Our next guest was a member of that Suns team, a three-time NBA All-Star, three-time NBA All-Star, as well as a longtime member of the Suns, the Miami Heat, and now he's the head coach at Grand Canyon University in the WAC. Dan Marley joining us this morning on the show. Thunder Dan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, my man. How you doing?
I'm perfect. Thank you.
It's hard to imagine it's been 25 years since that day. And I know that in Phoenix, that team still resonates. Obviously, you're in that area. How often are you reminded of that 93 team?
A lot. Back then, we were the biggest ticket in town. We had always been really good. I got drafted in 88, and I played with Tom Chambers and Kevin Johnson, and we were always a 50-plus team and got to the playoffs, but never really could get over that hump. So in 92-93 season, they decided to trade for Charles Barkley. We had to get rid of Jeff Hornacek, which was a really good player for us, and we moved into then, which is the American West Arena downtown. We traded for Charles, and that year was just, it was a magical year. We won 62 games. We were the best team in the NBA. Obviously, having Charles come off of the Dream Team 1 performance, he was the MVP that year. And the city just went nuts. We were always a Phoenix Suns town, but that year was just a special year to be able to play in front of that crowd and to have that kind of success. So it was just a once-in-a-lifetime kind of deal.
We think about Phoenix as a four-professional sport town, but once upon a time, as you mentioned, it was a one-sport town. Before the Cardinals got there, it was only the Suns. So the Suns had such a die-hard fan base for such a long time. As you mentioned, you trade for Charles Barkley. When you trade for Barkley, it is a tough one because you lose Hornacek, but did you guys feel like, okay, yeah, this takes us to the next level?
Yeah, we thought so. Like I said, we had some really good teams. And to be able to get a superstar like Charles, a guy that could will you to a lot of wins and kind of take you to the next level, we were excited about it. And as I said, he was probably in the best shape of his career coming off that Dream Team 1 campaign. And when he got there, he was just such a fun guy to play with. And, our atmosphere was really loose. Coach Westfall did a great job of just letting us play and having discipline when we needed it. And we had guys in our locker room that just, monitored each other and such, different personalities with KJ and Danny Ainge and myself and Tom. And we just really meshed and had great chemistry. So we knew there was something special right away.
Dan Marley joining us this morning on the show, 25 years since the epic 93 NBA Finals. As you alluded to, you guys won 62 games, best record of the NBA. Actually, in the East, the Bulls weren't the one seed. They were the two seed that year. The Knicks had won 60 games. But the Bulls got through the Knicks in an iconic Eastern Conference Finals. That's the Charles Smith series. And so I wonder, were you guys wanting the Bulls because they were two-time champions, saying, hey, let's get through the champions to be champions? Or were you kind of hoping to not have to face a team that had won titles and had Michael Jordan?
Well, it was just such a wild year for us. I mean, we kind of just, you know, dominated the league, had 62 games. And, you know, Coach Westphal kind of sat us out, the starters, for the last five or six games. I think we lost like three of the last five or four of the last six games. So going into the playoffs, we weren't hitting on all cylinders. And we played the first series was against the Lakers. And back then it was a five-game series. And we had swept the Lakers that year. And they came in and beat us the first two games at home in the opening round of the playoffs. So we were down 0-2. As a 62-win team to the eighth seed, which means we had to win three in a row. And everybody kind of counted us out. And we went to L.A. and won two games and then won an overtime game in Phoenix to move on, took care of the Spurs. And then we had a tough Seattle team that we, again, lost at home, had to go there and win a game. So we were just happy to get to the finals and gotten to roll. And I think everybody wanted to play Michael and the Bulls because you always want to go through the best.
You know, and speaking of that, you guys had an odd habit of losing at home because you start out the NBA Finals at home, Game 1 and Game 2, and the Bulls take them both at America West Arena. So you guys are down 2-0 going to Chicago, and yet there it is, Game 3, that epic game. I know you wanted to jump in right there. What was the feeling after those first two?
Yeah, it was. You know, you're right. We tended to let things go, and again, everybody wrote us off. There's no way that the Suns are going to be able to go into that old Chicago building and win a game, let alone two. So that first game, we came out, and it was probably one of the more classic games ever to play in the finals. Triple overtime, guys going back and forth, and what an atmosphere it was to play in that old Chicago stadium, and for us to pull out that first win. Was just a great momentum builder for us. And then we went into the second game at Chicago and actually, you know, could have won that one. A late turnover kind of sealed the deal for us. And then we go to that game five. And, you know, they had boarded up the city. They were going to, you know, save the city and because there was going to be riots in the streets when Chicago won. And Charles did a great job, and we ended up winning that game. So we won two out of three in Chicago. And as Charles said, we saved the city. And we felt really good coming home for game six to win that game and get it to a game seven.
Game three of that series, I think, is the greatest finals game I've ever witnessed. The triple overtime, as you mentioned, you led the Suns with 28. Jordan had 44 in the loss, 129-121, back and forth. It had so many crazy moments that the game hinged on back and forth. When you get to triple overtime, you're trying to stave off being down 3-0. You're on the road against the two-time defending champions, and Jordan's having that type of night. Are you completely gassed, or do you guys dig deeper to try to get it done in the third overtime?
Well, I think everybody was gassed. I mean, everybody was cramping up. I remember Pippen cramping up, and but that time you just reached down, and you know it's a fantasy to play in that type of atmosphere and to be playing in a triple overtime game at the biggest stage of basketball. So you just dig down and play, and you know I loved it. It was just something that I look back at, and we knew it was a must win because we weren't coming back from a 3-0. So we just dug deep. And you know, one of the reasons why we traded for Charles is for a guy that can kind of dominate, and that's what he does. When there's games on the line, either we throw it into him in the post and he scores, or they have to double-team him, and guys around him are able to get shots.
Dan Majerle is our guest here on the show, talking about 25 years since the 93 finals. That takes us to game number six, the iconic John Paxson shot. You guys are that close to pushing it to a game number seven, where who knows, you had all the momentum potentially in a game seven. Do you look at that crestfallen as your chance and that shot, because I'm sure you see that shot a lot, or do you look at the year and the season and the run fondly and remember that season well?
Both. That shot haunts me and I think everybody here in Phoenix. To this day, they run that play back. And, they were going to have the last possession. We had a timeout. We sat in the huddle. We said, no threes. Absolutely no threes. If they make it two, we go into overtime, and we win it in overtime here in our own building. And we just run the playback. And if you see the play, I'm on the weak side. And when Danny Ainge, who I kid all the time, just left John Paxson to go double Grant, you see when John Paxson catches the ball, my hands go up. I'm like, what is going on? And then in just a minute or a second, that ball goes through the hoop, and you realize that your dreams are crushed right there, and the whole season goes down the drain.
It is one of the great finals ever now, 25 years since, which is just crazy. Dan Majerle joins us on the show. As a head coach yourself now at Grand Canyon, the Phoenix Suns in the neighborhood have the number one pick, and people think they're going to go with DeAndre Ayton, the big man. As a coach and a scouting mind, what do you think about Ayton at the NBA level?
I think Ayton's going to be really good, obviously. Everybody thinks that. He's a special type of player, and I can't see the Suns passing on him. Everybody here in Phoenix are so, you know, 50 years we've never had the first pick. So they're so excited about this, and everybody's kind of leaning towards Ayton, him playing a high school year here, going to U of A, kind of being a local guy. I would be surprised if they pass on him. But to be honest with you, I think Ayton's going to be great, but I really think Marvin Bagley is going to be a special player. I've had the opportunity to watch him since he's been a freshman in high school. He went to high school here for his first couple years and gotten to know him really well. He's going to be a special, special player. So if it was me, I would still take Ayton because I think that's the expectations. That it would be hard to bounce back from something like that if you didn't take him and he panned out to be great. But I think Marvin Bagley is going to be a special. Special player.
Do you think Bagley will be better than Ayton?
I think it's going to be close. I think both of them are going to be really good. I think Marvin is just scratching the surface. I mean, this is a kid that should be a freshman in high school or a freshman in college right now. He reclassified to go to college. And to be able to do that and go to Duke and to put up the type of numbers that he put up with other guys who are going to be drafted tonight is a special player. And I think he's just scratching the surface of what he can be.
5 years ago, you were hired as Grand Canyon's coach when they entered D1, and Grand Canyon really made a commitment to basketball, and it has brought a lot of attention to the university, and they really made a commitment financially to fielding this school or fielding this team within this school. What's it been like to be at the ground floor of something and watch it grow the way that it has over the last 5 years? I mean, you guys are absolutely on the map, and people know about you.
It's been great. This university is something special. When we transitioned from Division II to Division I, we won 81 games, which is by far the best that anybody's ever won in a transitioning period. And last year was our first year that we were able to go to the NCAA tournament. We got to the conference finals and lost to New Mexico State in the championship game. So we've been able to really build something quickly here. We have, if not the best, probably one of the best college atmospheres, student sections in all of the country. It's just an amazing, amazing place, and we've made great strides. So I'm lucky to be here. Our President Mueller, has done a fantastic job. And then, of course, Mr. Colangelo is a big part of this school with his business school being here and somebody that I can talk to and somebody that mentors me. So there's great things ahead for Grand Canyon, and as I said, I'm really lucky to be here.
And you've got good games this season that will get national attention. Boise State comes in. You've got Nevada, Texas, Northern Iowa. There's some chances for you guys to really have a lot of eyes on you. How exciting is that?
It's exciting. Every year we've played really good teams. We've had Louisville for 3 years. We actually had Louisville come here and play us at home. And Coach Pitino said it was the hardest place he's ever played as far as an atmosphere. We've played at Duke. We've played at Kentucky. We've played at Indiana. So we've always tried to schedule, and this year's no different. We're playing we're in the Wooden Classic in Fullerton in California, which will be some really good teams. As you said, we've got Boise State coming, but we got Nevada. It's going to be a top-10 team. We're playing at the Suns Arena. We're at Northern Iowa. We're going to Texas. So we always want to try to play really good non-conference schedule and continue to get better. You know, our goal is to be a top 25 team, and every year I think we're getting closer.
Go Lopes, the Grand
Lopes
Canyon.
Up, baby.
Lopes up, Grand Canyon,
right.
Antelopes. Dan Marley, head coach, joining us here on the show as they compete in the WAC and are a growing program doing big things. Dan Marley, 25 years since the 93 NBA Finals. Man, this was a lot of fun to go down memory lane, buddy. Thanks so much for doing that for us this morning, and good luck this upcoming basketball season. We'll catch up during then.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Dan Marley joining us this morning on the show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.